Desert Island Discs.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island this week is a very well-known actor. He's created a character on television that's very quickly become a national figure. It's the man who plays Steptoe Senior, Wilfred Bramble. Now, Wilfred, you've made this great success playing a Cockney part. Are you indeed a Cockney?
No, I'm an Irishman. I'm from Dublin, a Paddy.
Really?
Yes.
Would you call yourself a musical Irishman?
Yes. Without any technical knowledge, except that I can strike middle C.
Can you play an instrument?
No instrument. I did sing originally, but the voice didn't match with the silhouette.
Did you hear a lot of music as a child?
Yes, and I'm assured that I knew the first act of Carmen before I was seven.
How was that?
My mother was a singer.
A professional singer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have 8 records to take with you to this desert island. How did you set about choosing them?
It was a fearful job, and I settled for what I hope is a wide variety so that I wouldn't get bored with any one kind.
What's the first one you've chosen?
First one is the Beethoven Symphony No. 7, the slow movement.
Why do you choose this?
It always shakes me up. You know, it's a glorious, somber melody written on so few notes.
The slow movement of Beethoven's 7th Symphony, Otto Klemperer conducting the Philharmonia Orchestra. Wilfred, how early in life did you decide that you wanted to be an actor?
Well, it was really decided for me. The virus was instilled when I was 2½ in 1914. I entertained the first batch of wounded soldiers who came from the 1418 war back to Dublin.
By doing what?
Strange little songs and dances. The only thing that must have been good about it was that I didn't know I was good because I loathe child prodigies.
When you left school, you went straight into the theatre, did you?
No. By this time, my parents took up the attitude that it was no profession for a man. So I had to go and find myself a pound a week job in a newspaper office.
Doing what?
Bookkeeping and generally running messages.
Mm-hmm.
And I put 10 bobbles this pound a week towards drama school fees.
And when did you make your first professional appearance?
After about 3 or 4 years, I branched out as a semi-professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working both jobs at once.
You were in the newspaper office by day and working in the
theatre at night.
For the Gate and the Abbey and so forth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When did you decide to be a full-time professional actor?
Well, when the war broke out and Ensor was formed, I joined Ensor.
You came to London?
Yes, and was immediately posted straight back on high security to the north of Ireland.
Where you joined an Ensor troop over there?
Yes, and did one play every 8 weeks.
Right during the war?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And after the war?
After the war, I packed my bag again and came to London and started from scratch, knowing only that Shaftesbury Avenue and Charing Cross Road was where the agents lived.
Did you find any of them helpful?
Yes, they were, and I took all sorts and conditions of jobs, touring, review.
Mm-hmm. When did you make your first West End appearance?
This came from a play which opened in the Mercury Theatre, a play called Happy as Larry.
That had a long run in the West End, didn't it?
Yes, it moved into the Criterion and stayed there for 18 months.
And after that?
After that, I went to Swansea, where a theatre was being formed, and quality plays were being sponsored by the Arts Council, fortnightly.
Mm.
And I had a marvellous time there.
How long did you stay there?
Again, this 18 months sets in.
Yes. This was the pattern. Repertory, the occasional tour, the odd foray into the West End.
Yes, and the odd foray into the food office.
The food office?
Yes, I went in and wrote envelopes in the food office. Oh, dear. Patch.
Mm-hmm. Any other odd jobs you did during bad patches?
Yes, I worked for the first radio cabs, mm-hmm. taking messages. And I sat with a brazier in front of me in a little hut outside Ealing Broadway, counting cars all night.
What was the idea of counting cars?
Well, there was a census of some description went on, but my form looked convincing, but was very inaccurate.
When did you make your latest theatre appearance?
Oh, I went back to Chesterfield Rep for their 500th production.
Mm-hmm. That was just a little while ago.
Yes, last November.
Let's have record number two now. What's that going to be?
May I have, for nostalgic reasons, and because I played with him in a film called The Castaways, I never thought I'd have the honor, Maurice Chevalier singing Louise.
Wonderful, oh, it's wonderful to be in love with you. Beautiful, you're so beautiful, you haunt me all day through. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little rose tells me it knows I love you, love you.
Maurice Chevalier singing Louise. The Castaways that you mentioned, this was a film, of course.
Yes, a Disney film.
Yeah. Have you played in a lot of films, Wilfred?
Quite a few, but it was only comparatively recently that I got on the widescreen colour lark.
Before that, you had played in
B-films, you know, the occasional 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. When did you start playing on television?
This was in, I think, 1950. 5, 6.
Hmm.
I had been in a play in the West End which didn't run, and my agent, or as she is now, management, came round and said, I thought you were a Shakespearean comic, and asked me if I would join her. After this, I went to Chesterfield, and Joan, bless her heart, got me 3 televisions. When I was still in Chesterfield, with producers who had never even seen or heard of me.
This is a very good management indeed to have.
She is a dolly.
You were in both the Quatermass serials on television, weren't you?
Yes, this is the beginning of the hairy old man period.
And indeed in 1984, too.
Yes. Both for Cartier.
Yes. And what else? Some of the Maigret stories?
Well, I've been solidly living off the box since 1955.
How did Steptoe and Son start?
A complete accident. The writers, you know, Ray and Alan, on whom we largely, almost solely depend, were commissioned to write 13 comedy playhouses, and this was one of them. They had a say in the casting.
Mm.
And it was they that suggested Harry and myself.
Had you worked together before?
We had once, but we were so far apart that I had forgotten that it was Harry.
And this was to be just one single engagement, a comedy playhouse?
Yes.
You had no idea it was going to be a series?
Not a notion. And when it was suggested, I nearly had a fit, because I thought I would rather work than do a series.
Little did you know. Well, let's have record number 3 now.
May I have Maggie Tate singing Plaisir d'amour?
Maggie Tate singing Plaisir d'amour. How many Steptoe and Son programs have you done now, Wilfred?
In all, and this is over a period of over 2 years, nearly 3, I think, 21.
Is that all?
Yes.
There'll be more to come.
Well, who knows? I imagine that The BBC will want to dig them up again, and I hope they do, because I enjoy them, but not for a year.
They're going out overseas now and being a great success there.
Yes, apparently they're tops in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must say, as you sit there, you don't look a bit like Steptoe Senior. Who thought out the makeup?
Well, I don't use any. I just don't shave for 4 days and put my bottom teeth in my pocket. I'm the makeup girl's dream of home.
All the rest is acting.
Well, thank you for saying so.
What are you up to at the moment?
I'm doing a film with the Beatles.
What part are you playing?
Ooh, I'm playing Paul McCartney's grandfather.
This is the film in which a few weeks ago you were going all over England on a very secret train so that nobody knew where.
Yes, this is what we hoped and thought, but the girls were out and the mature types were also screaming. Occasionally, I was pleased to hear a voice, in the words of the bard, shriller than all the rest, saying, "We want Steptoe."
Wilfred, what's your big ambition?
I want to keep healthy. I want to keep my memory. And I want to keep working.
Mm-hmm. You have no particular direction in which you want to work. You don't want to control your own company or...
Oh, no, I might lose money on it.
This is seriously possible. Let's have another record.
May I be like all the rest and ask for Jeju Joy of Man's Desiring, played by Myra Hess?
Playing her own arrangement of Bach's Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. What next, Wilfred?
May I have Hedel Nash singing Serenade from the Fair Maid of Perth?
Don't put it
on at the beginning. I want to hear the end. They always cut this off on Housewife's Choice.
I will go back to my home again.
Hedel Nash singing the serenade from The Fair Maid of Perth, and you have that lovely note at the end, right to the very end. Is that what you wanted?
Yes, I love it.
Good. Wilfred, how well do you think you could endure loneliness on this island?
I should loathe it after about 3 hours.
In a practical sense, could you look after yourself?
No. Because whereas I like steaks, I'm not a butcher. And unless it's a very well fertilized vegetable full island, I'm going to starve to death.
You can't garden?
No.
Any hobbies that might be useful? Have you ever camped out?
Yes, I've camped out, but always, you know, called at a butcher's on my way there.
It's the best kind of camping out. Worrying, have you ever done any fishing?
Yes, once, and I didn't know how to kill the damn thing, so I had to let it go back.
If you decided to build a craft and found you could build a craft or found a craft or something of that sort, would you try to escape?
Immediately.
Even if you weren't quite sure in which direction you ought to go?
Yes. And if the craft didn't turn up, I think I'd get into the gramophone and hope it might float. Come to the nearest sign of civilization and say, which way to Pimlico?
Floating up the Thames to Pimlico. Fire station just here. Let's have record number 6 now.
Well, I've chosen 2 Mozarts, but I would rather hear a lot of 1. So may I have Rita Streich singing The Queen of the Night?
Why have you chosen that?
Oh, I think it's beautiful. Every time I hear it, I get shivers up on my spine.
Streich singing the Queen of the Night's aria from the Magic Flute. Now, what's the other Mozart you were choosing, Wilfred? Because as you have the whole of the Queen of the Night's aria, I'm afraid we won't have time to play this one.
Well, it was Don Giovanni, Give Me Your Hand, sung by Irmgard Seyfried and Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what's the last record you've chosen, the one that we're going to hear now?
More nostalgia. I want Frank Sinatra. And I've chosen These Foolish Things.
A cigarette that bears a lipstick traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, and still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of you.
Frank Sinatra. Well, there are your records. If you could only choose one, which would it be?
I think it would be Gigi Joy.
Mm-hmm. And you're allowed to take one luxury with you to the island. What are you having?
I think I'll have an adequate supply of scotch and an adequate supply of lager.
Very sensible. And one book.
A dictionary.
Big dictionary?
Yes, a great big one.
Why particularly?
Well, you can look up one word and then look up the meaning of the definition.
Right. And thank you, Wilfred Bramble, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc.
It's been a pleasure, and I hope we never meet there.
Goodbye, everyone.